listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you The Seminarians, a dialogue with students from the Pontifical College Josephinum, produced by AM 820 to encourage and inspire vocations to the religious life. And now, The Seminarians.
Welcome to a special presentation of The Seminarian Show, The Deacon Show. I'm Deacon P.J. Brandymarty from the Diocese of Columbus, and I'm joined with three of my classmates who were ordained on May the 4th by Bishop Campbell to be transitional deacons as well, Deacon Brian Heron, Deacon Brian Beal, and Deacon Kyle Tennant. Welcome, brothers.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great to be here again, Deacon PJ.
Indeed. Well, we're not going to dawdle. We're going to start with some prayer. So, Deacon Beal, why don't you lead us in prayer?
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for another day of life. We pray that you will breathe upon us, breathe upon the show, all our listeners. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Accomplish all that you want to accomplish. And let us be your instruments this day and every day, even until the end of our lives. All glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Very good. Well, today our topic is going to be our diaconal ministry. So in the last show, we talked about what it was like to be ordained deacons, and today we're going to talk about some of the things we've been doing since then. So this is PJ. You all know my beautiful voice from listening to me on the radio for the last year.
Wait, we were just corrected. It was Deacon PJ.
You're right. It is Deacon PJ.
You will address yourself by your own proper title.
Indeed. And so it's weird to get used to that.
Yeah, I don't know when to answer my phone saying Deacon Bryant or just to say Bryant.
That's a great question, especially for us, because this is a very permanent thing in one sense, but it's also kind of the transitional diaconate for us. So Deacon Kyle is only going to be a thing for another 300 some odd days. So,
well, and the other thing is, now that we're all wearing clerics frequently, people just call me Father.
Yeah.
And I learned within 3 days that
you can't correct all of them.
I can't correct all of them. It's just, especially true. If you're just walking down the street and someone's like, oh, hey, Father. It got really awkward to go, actually, it's Deacon, not Father yet. I just say, thank you. Have a great day. God bless you.
Right.
And then, yeah, any longer conversation, we can correct it. But, but so as many of you who are listening know, I, along with two of our seminary classmates, now Deacon Alfonso Gomez and Deacon Britt Taylor, were assigned here for the academic years, our apostolic work. But now that we're deacons, we actually have real parish assignments around the diocese that we've been at for several months now, and that we will continue to be at through our, everyone except Brian Beal, Deacon Beal, who is going to be going back to Boston. Yep. But Deacon Heron and Deacon Tennant will remain in their assignments as well. No?
Neither of us.
Neither of us, actually.
No,
not for the school year.
So, 0-2.
I feel foolish.
Well, no, that is typically, the vast majority of the time, it's a great grace for the transitional deacons to spend, you know, almost or over even a calendar year in a parish as a deacon that the faithful get to familiarize themselves with and see week in and week out. Deacon Heron and I, being from places a little further flung than fiery Gehenna, we are my hometown.
It is fiery. It's very warm right now.
The whole country is fiery right now. So my home area is down in Scioto County. I'm a son of St. Monica Parish in New Boston, Ohio. My hometown is Franklin Furnace. Now, you talk about a fiery place. So because it's, you know, 100 miles from Columbus, I'm down there for the summer, but I will make a transition to, St. Bridget of Kildare, parish in Dublin, Ohio, once the school year begins. But I'm really excited. I don't know how you feel, Deacon Heron, but I'm so excited to be able to be in my home parish and see, you know, the people that have known me and loved me and pray for me for a long time. It's been so great to be around them again.
It's been wonderful for me to be in my home parish that I've grown up for. I've been there for 25 years, and I earned seminary right out of high school. So they've seen me through these 7 years in seminary develop in my discernment and going one step further towards ordination as lector and then acolyte and now deacon. So it's been a wonderful experience being home and to do baptisms and to preach and to teach and to also kind of give a little instruction. My parish, we have a deacon, but unfortunately he doesn't proclaim the gospel and he doesn't do the prayers of the faithful. So oftentimes I have to remind people that I'm going to be proclaiming the gospel, so leave the book of the gospels in the sacristy so I can carry it in. Also, please remember that I'm going to go over to the ambo and do the prayers of the faithful, mm-hmm. because it's the proper role of the deacon as going out. He would be the church's representative going out to the poor and the widow and the orphan. So he knew who to pray for, so that's why he proclaims it at the Mass. Mm-hmm. But I don't know about you guys, but a lot of the people and a lot of the times that I've had to preach actually this summer, all the gospels are on Jesus going home and nobody recognizing him as a prophet.
Well, that's awkward. Well, that's my experience because I didn't grow up in my home in the parish I'm assigned to. I'm assigned to my home parish as well, St. Matthew's in Gahanna. Go Mustangs. Woo. I really hope that's our mascot.
It is. I'm pretty sure it is.
I think it is too.
But by home parish, of course, you mean your sponsoring parish that you claim as a seminarian, right?
No.
For St. Matthew's.
It was my home parish for many years. I was a parishioner there for 3 years.
Yeah,
before.
Yeah, worked here in Columbus beforehand.
All right.
Yeah. So it's not like I appeared.
Not baptismal, but you were a member there before. Seminary.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
But it's awkward because you guys... two of the four of us who have spoken about this grew up in your home parishes where you're at, so everyone knows you. And
I would say the majority of the people, when they're talking to me, they just still say Bryant. They don't say Deacon Bryant or Deacon Heron. And I don't really mind. I mean, it's my home parish, but this...
You do because you brought it up. Let's talk about this. How does that make you feel?
Thank you, Dr. Phil.
You're welcome. That's Deacon Dr. Phil.
Reverend Mr. Dr. Phil.
But I bring this up because it's one reason why we're not assigned to our home parishes as priest. If you don't recognize us as a deacon even, but you may not recognize us as a priest, and why would you want to go confession to the little kid that used to serve on the altar?
Right.
Or that's who you see, at least. So this is one reason that we're not assigned to our home parishes, even though everyone wants us there because they've known us for so long.
Right. Yeah.
Well, luckily for me, well, or unluckily, you guys are in the position where these people know you, they love you, they've been praying for you forever. Your parishes are also smaller than St. Matthew's.
Right. Yeah, you're in a very different situation.
I'm in a suburban mega parish. We have somewhere around, I think, 3,000 families there. We've got a school, we've got two priests, we've got three other deacons plus me. So it's a big thing. And whereas you guys are kind of reconnecting with your roots, I'm finally visible to people, and they're like,
"Oh yeah, we."
I couldn't see you. I thought you were a big guy.
Yeah, I've repeatedly gotten, "Hey, you're that fat guy that used to get up on the altar and corral the altar servers during Christmas and Easter, right?" Yep, that's me.
I didn't know you could talk.
Oh, I can talk. I can talk.
Shut up. That's the trick.
Indeed. Well, that's why I was on the radio.
That's right.
Deacon Beal, tell us about your assignment.
I like to say a face only a mother can love.
Face for radio.
Oh, mine or yours?
Definitely mine. And
no, I don't know.
You can claim it for yourself. But.
I've repeatedly claimed it for myself over the last year.
Yeah, I can also say about reconnecting has been the key word at Immaculate Conception. I've been away for 15 years, so it's been interesting seeing people's faces who haven't seen me for 15 years and just observing the, we remember you. And so, it's just been great to reconnect with the families and be going full steam.
Yeah, that's great. So
one of the great blessings that I've had in my parish experience is that I've had 9 baptisms already. I had a single baptism about 3 weeks ago, it was my first, and it was a very intimate group right after the Saturday evening Mass. And then I had a huge group baptism. It was the largest that they've had in many years, 8 children to be baptized. So it was like corralling a bunch of cats.
That's awesome.
How old were these children?
Well, it ranged from just born about a month and a half ago to about 2 years.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So a little variety there. And we actually lost one of the kids during the ceremony.
Intensely curious as to how that happened.
Did you leave the seven sheep to go after the lost one?
Well, I sent the server to go find the family. Right after the baptism, after I baptized them, they walked off into the back vestibule or outside, and they're like, oh, it's not done yet? So they had to come back in. And we're like, no, we still have the epitha rite, and then we also have the chrism, anointing on the crown of the head. So
yeah, there's more to the rite than just the water.
Yeah.
So it's the communion equivalent of receiving Jesus and then walking out to your car.
Yeah. Right. Well, I had signed the paperwork beforehand, so I was glad they show up.
That's a classic mistake.
That's true.
Yeah. You gotta hold out. You're listening to The Deacon Show, a special presentation of the Seminarian Show here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. You can hear this show every Tuesday at noon and Sunday at 1 p.m. and in the audio archives at stgabrielradio.com. I'm Deacon P.J. Brandy Marty from the Diocese of Columbus, and joining me are my fellow transitional deacons from Columbus, Deacon Brian Herron, Deacon Brian Beal, and Deacon Kyle Tennant. So Deacon Bryant was just telling us about some of his summer experience, and that's really what we're here to talk about today, because so many of us have had varied experiences at our different parishes, which is indicative of the life that we'll lead as priests, because though we all perform the same functions, the way those functions are performed is radically different, even literally just down the road.
Mm-hmm. Bishop Campbell likes to say that the Diocese of Columbus stretches from Ada to Zor, from A to Z.
Indeed. Well, and the funny part is my previous life as a marketing manager, my territory that I covered was almost coterminous with the diocese. So I've seen a lot of the parishes.
Did you make the canonical visits?
No. God willing, I will never have to. So I think we have other people who'd be better bishops than I. Maybe not as loud, but better. But I know that we're all having different experiences. So let's just go down the list. So Bryant was talking about baptizing
Deacon Bryant.
I'm sorry, Deacon Bryant. See this? So we'll sidebar this for a second, because it's come up at least four times.
It is a thing. Let's talk about it.
I fully understand how hard it is for people to switch into adding a title to anybody, especially a title for us that's going to change very shortly. We went from being PJ to, I went from being PJ to now Deacon PJ or Deacon Brandy Marty, and soon it'll be Father PJ or Father Brandy Marty. But when you go to school with these guys and you know them so well, it's even harder for us, I think, sometimes to recognize that we're in public and we need to be calling each other by our proper titles. So
even as the newly ordained priest, knowing them for 4 or 5 years beforehand and just calling them TJ or Brett, and now having to call them Father TJ, Father Brett, it becomes difficult even after calling them a deacon for 9 to 12 months.
There's a lot of layers to it too. So we've known each other for a long time, but also we are all brother deacons. And so, mm-hmm. for us, because we are in the same state, it's not as, I'm not usually as fastidious about referring to other deacons as exactly. Deacon whomever, but,
we're also dangerously close to getting to the point where the pastors we grew up with are going to be literally on the same level as us.
Yeah, and that's going to be weird.
It's going to be really awkward the first time I'm a priest and I see Father Ted Sill, Theodore K. Sill, the pastor of St. Matthew's. I'm like, hey, what's up, Ted? How you doing? I don't think that will ever happen, by the way. Luckily, I don't believe Father listens to my program. So.
But his parishioners probably do.
And if not, we'll find out.
That's true. But another part of it is too, though. Like when we're talking about going back to our home parishes and everything, people who have known us and it's hard for them to sort of recognize. But and I just feel kind of awkward saying, well, it is Deacon Kyle now, mm-hmm. so I don't really want to correct him. But I was advised by a priest that, you know, even though it may feel awkward, it is good because it is good to recognize the office of the deacon. Mm-hmm. So out of respect for the office of the diaconate, not me myself. You know, I'm hardly consequential in the grand scheme of things, but not as a sign of respect to me personally, but as a sign of respect to the office of which I am a member. He said that it's good for people to say those kind to address you by, you know, Deacon PJ, Deacon Brandon Marty, or whatever it is. So I think, I mean, there's just a lot going on in that, but it's also because, you know, deacon is the permanent diaconate as being so visible in our diocese, but that's a fairly recent phenomenon in church history that it's been restored just what, 40, 50 years ago, something like that.
Yeah. Vatican II, Kyle, so, that restored it.
So the idea of addressing anybody as deacon on a regular basis outside of a seminary is a fairly recent phenomenon too. So it's like, you know, especially in parishes, a lot of those guys are, you know, pillars of the church that mm-hmm. people have known for a long time. So it'd be a little weird to start calling a guy, you know, Bill, that you've known forever, to call him Deacon Bill. But it is a good thing to do because of the office that he has.
Well, at least they don't call us lay deacons. So. We have the let's talk about this. What's it like to wear the collar all the time? So in our diocese, permanent deacons do not wear clerical attire. A few have special permission to for like hospital or prison ministry, but it's even those who have the permission to, I've never seen them do it.
A lot of them typically don't. They like wearing black polos, but that's as close as it gets usually.
But, I've seen one of the prison chaplains, one of the deacon prison chaplains. He wears it primarily because it does help him get through security and all that.
Yeah,
sure.
Also, I think becomes a little bit more relatable with the inmates. They can identify him as a religious,
right?
But I think it's for me, it's kind of, in a way, awkward. We're brother deacons going out to dinner, but I'm wearing clerics. Right. Someone younger is wearing clerics. And then you have this permanent deacon who I'm having dinner with or lunch with, and we're talking, and we're brothers, so we just use first names, like Kyle was saying. And it's a recognition that my state is shorter than going to be a shorter time, and that I'm discerning a higher good.
It's permanent, but you're going to be moving on to the next state as well. So it's, you know, you'll be taking on another identity in addition to the one that we've received.
Yeah,
which is why transitional deacons in the United States everywhere wear clerical clothes. Mm-hmm. And it's funny, we're sitting here recording, we have the whole gamut of clerical clothing options for deacons. I'm sitting here with,
we could be a magazine or
we could be.
I'm sure there's going to be a picture taken at the end of this. Look on the website.
We'll get it's kind of funny because
we'll be sure to line up in ascending order.
We've got the very traditional cloth collar around Deacon Bryant.
Right.
We've got
Anglican style with no black window. Yeah,
we've got Deacon Kyle with his trendy Italian style collar
straight from Barbacone.
Indeed. And then most of our listeners have no idea about this, but it's really hard to find clerical clothing. There's literally like four companies in the world that make it,
right?
And it's really expensive. So
it's all to the shape of a box rather than a human being,
right? It's also true.
Well, it's especially hard for those of us who are shaped like pears or other right. large vegetable or fruit objects.
How about baby giraffe?
Baby, yes.
Right. Well, yeah.
But
poor Deacon Beale, he disappears into the middle of his sleep.
So I'm wearing the traditional American with the little plastic piece that just goes in my collar, and then Deacon Beale is dressed as a permanent deacon. He's wearing his. I should note that this is our day off.
It's true.
Well, some of
it's your guys' day off. Mine's on Monday and Friday sometimes.
Oh well, 2 days off. Look at you.
Well, it switches based
Monday
on
Monday or Friday.
Going on
not
during
Monday
the week.
And Friday.
Yeah, okay. Monday or Friday.
Well, very good. But it's wearing clerics. Has that really changed the way that you see yourself? The way others see you? What's your experience been, Brian? Deacon Brian. Deacon Brian.
I think the biggest eye opening part about wearing clerics is the neat conversations that it has opened up with fallen away Catholics, with evangelicals, even anti-Catholics. It's just a hallmark of Catholicism, and I just love it, so that it's a springboard towards really good conversations. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just so neat, and Mother Angelica, she encouraged all Catholics to wear something visible about the faith, if it be a little crucifix, a miraculous medal, and we're wearing something that is so obvious, so apparent before people. And I just think it's a great lead into some good conversation. Mm-hmm.
Indeed.
Some of the best conversations I've had are when I was in Washington, D.C. or New York City wearing a cassock, and it was just springboard into a conversation. Oh, Father. Oh, I'm not a father yet. Okay. Well, and then that leads to another conversation. And before long, you're talking to the person that you have no idea who they are for about 20 minutes.
Yeah. It's a great witness, really, that, you know, the faith is alive and well, we are not, as a society, as a civilization, as a country, all of these things, we have not moved beyond religious expression and religious belief and faith. Of the four guys sitting in this room, the four deacons sitting in this room, you know, Deacon Beal is the oldest, but he's still a young guy. He's in shape. Mm-hmm. He's not gray-haired or you know, over the age of 70 or anything like that. And so I don't go up to people, what was your reaction when you saw me walk into Kroger today? But I think that part of it is seeing, you know, here's a young guy who's, you know, not a weirdo apparently, but he's wearing a collar, and that's a very powerful thing. That it's not
strong witness.
It is. I that's what I think anyway. That it's not only for old people and fuddy duddies, but like, you know, young people and like I say, it's not dying. It's not going away. We're not, you know, I'm not going anywhere. I'm in this for the long haul, and I know that there will be guys after me who will continue to wear the collar and to be priests and to minister to the faith and to keep the mysteries alive for the faithful. So it's there's so many of the lay faithful out there too that do exactly what Deacon Beal was talking about, wearing the crucifixes, wearing different medals and pins and different things that show, hey, I'm a Catholic and I believe, or they wear those, they have those great AM820 stickers on the mm-hmm. back of their cars. You know, how many of those do you see driving around Columbus?
AM820 Mafia. That's how we roll.
That's right. Loud and proud.
Indeed. Well, thank you, Deacon Kyle. So we've talked about wearing clerics. We've talked about baptisms. Let's talk about preaching. I'm just kind of going through the list of things that we do now that we're assigned to our parish. I am blessed that my pastor lets me preach every day if I wanted to. At this point, I generally preach every time I serve daily mass, and I'm preaching at least 2 weekends a month, and I'll continue to preach at least 2 weekends a month during the school year. The advantage I have is I'm at a big parish, St. Matthew's, and they have two daily masses. Mm. So I get a wide variety of both parishioners and priests who get to give me feedback on my homilies. How about you guys? What's your preaching been like? Good, bad, growing experience?
Well,
master level yet?
Well, I can honestly say people look up to me when I preach. Yeah, I'm just kidding.
Well, that's because you're so tall.
Yeah, I'm 6'5". but
it's really uncomfortable being around you as a fellow tall person. I like to be the tallest one in the room, and I feel like we might be enemies one day. I'm just kidding. I love you, man.
Yeah. Benedict the 16th really, really has been coming to mind a lot in preaching. When he first got ordained a priest, he had to teach young kids, and so he had to take all these great concepts of the faith and distill them down in tangible, bite-sized terms. And that just has been echoing in my head to think relevant, think clarity, think brevity. And so far, people like the simplicity, the brevity, and the clarity. And so Benedict the 16th has been just a huge inspiration, and hopefully it's helping the preaching.
Yeah. Deacon Kyle?
Yeah, it's kind of funny. I thought it was going to be my favorite part of being a deacon, but there's actually other parts, even of the Mass itself, that I like more than preaching. But the preaching is a great opportunity to kind of along the lines of what Deacon Beal was just saying, that it was, you know, you're trying to take these great, you've learned so much in seminary, and that you have this whole, you know, catalog of things and ideas and concepts and truths of the faith and the beauty of the Trinity and Christ and the Incarnation to try to explain. And it's like, well, what am I going to say? You know, you've got this whole, you know, library full, you know, this eternal God. And, but it's, the thing that really warms me up the most about it is, you know, just preaching Christ, just making Christ known to people. Christ who lived 2,000 years ago and is still alive today and is still involved in people's lives and wants people to be close to him and wants to be part of people's lives. And so how to take that word from, you know, so written so long ago but is still alive today, and insert it into people's lives today.
Indeed. Well, that just about does it for our time here today. Thank you guys for coming in. It's been great to hang out with you, talk to you. As usual, we didn't get through the whole agenda, but I feel like we've done some good work, and we kind of shared what it's like to be a deacon, primarily with the way we dress and what we call ourselves. But no, it was good. It was the struggle was real. So let's wrap it up. Deacon Bryant, will you please lead us in our closing prayer?
Sure. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen. O God, we thank you for the gifts that you've given us, this time to gather together as brothers, and this time to share our experiences with those who are listening. We ask that you provide for those who are in need, those in poverty and are hungry, for the word and for food. We ask that you provide all this through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
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 Well, thank you, deacons, for coming in today, and thank you all, listeners, for joining us for this special presentation of the Seminarian Show. You can hear this show and all the Seminarian shows Tuesday at noon and Sunday at 1 p.m. and in the audio archives at stgabrielradio.com. Thank you very much for listening, and may God richly bless you.
The Seminarians is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of the Seminarians and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com. Veni,